والذي خلفي Divine grace Avaya Chalanad Vatvananda Goswami Mara Shila Prabhupad Kijai Iskan Bounder Acharya Shila Prabhupad Kijai Adanta Goti Vaishnava Vrindu Kijai Namacharya Shila Huridas Thakur Kijai Vrem Se Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shidwaya Gadadha Shiva Siddhi Gaur Vata Vrindu Kijai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Kumara Sayam Kundrada Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturidam Kijai Navaditam Kajai, Jagatapasami Kajai, Yamunamai Kajai, Shimani Lasi Devi Kajai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari. All glories, the assembled devotees, all glories, the assembled devotees, all glories, the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada, Kajai, Gaur. Before beginning class, we'd like to welcome devotees who are watching us from overseas, Mahavidya, Dero Prashanta, Radhavano from Croatia, Arjuna from New Zealand, Amarnar Das from Florida, and Jayanti from the Balkans, and Chital Mani Swami. Okay, so reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 12, Text 5. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Adi Anta Asya Yan Majam Idam Anyat Aham Bhagi Yato Avyayasya Naitani Tats Sacham Brahma Chit Bhavan Adyanta Vasya Yanma Jahum
Adyanta Vasya Yanma Jahum
Ida Manya Dahum Bahi
Ida Manya Dahum Bahi
Ito Vyayasa Naitani Tatsa Chyam Ramachit Bhavan Adyanta Vasya Adyanta Vyasya Yanma Jahum
Adyanta Vyasya Yanma Jahum
Idam Manya Daham Idam Manya Daham Bahi
Idam Manya Daham Bahi
Yato Vyayasya Naitani
Yato Vyasya Naitani
Datsa Jam Ramachit Bhavan Adyanta Vyasya Yanma Jahum
Adyanta Vyasya Yanma
Jahum Idam Madhyana Haum Bhagi
Idam Madhyana Haum Bhagi
Yato Vyayasya Naitani
Yato
Vyayasya Naitani Tatsa Jam Ramache Bhava Okay.
Adyanta Vyasya Yanma Jahum
Idam manyat aham
bahi
Idam manyat aham bahi
Yato avyasya naitani
Yato avyasya naitani Adyanta avyasya
naitani
Idam manyat aham bahi
Yato avyasya naitani
Yato avyasya naitani
Satyam brahma chit
Ladies.
Adiyanta Vasya Yanma Jahum
Adiyanta Vasya Yanma Jahum
Manifested cosmos,
or anything material
or visible. Yat, that which, madhyam, between the beginning and the end, the sustenance. Idam, this Bhagi, outside of you. Yataha, because of Avyayasya, the inexhaustible. Not. Etani, all these differences. Tat, that. Satyam, the absolute truth. Brahman, the supreme. Chit, spiritual. Bhavan, your lordship. The translation, the manifest, the unmanifest, false ego, and the beginning, maintenance, and annihilation of this cosmic manifestation all come from you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because you are the absolute truth, the supreme absolute spirit soul, the supreme Brahman, such changes as birth, death, and sustenance do not exist in you. So purport, by divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shilvaupad Shilvaupad Ki Jai. According to the Vedic mantras, Yathola Imani Bhutani Jayante, everything is an emanation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter, text 4, Bhumir po nalo vayu kamano bhurareva cha ahankari tiyame vina prapatir vashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego all together. These eight comprised by separated material energies. In other words, the ingredients of the cosmic manifestation also consists of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This does not mean, however, that because the ingredients come from Him, He is no longer complete. Purnasya purnam adaya purnam eva vashishyate. Because He is the complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from Him, He remains the complete balance. Thus the Lord is called avyaya, inexhaustible. Unless we accept the absolute truth as achinja bheda bheda, simultaneously one and different, we cannot have a clear conception of the absolute truth. The Lord is the root of everything, ahamaduti devanam. He is the original cause of all the devas or demigods, aham sarvasya prabhavaha. Everything emanates from Him, in all cases, nominative, objective, positive, negative, and so on. Whatever we may conceive of in this entire cosmic manifestation is in fact the Supreme Lord. For Him, there are no such distinctions as this is mine and this belongs to someone else, because He is everything. He is therefore called avyaya, changeless and inexhaustible. Because the Supreme Lord is avyaya, He is the absolute truth, the fully spiritual Supreme Brahman. Adiyantavishayan hutyam aha idam manyadaham bhakhi yatovya yashya naitani tatsajam ramachet.
Bhagavan. So Om Ganat Sivananda Shah Gananjana Shivakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, indirectly, here in this particular verse and purport, Lord Shiva, who is offering prayers to the Supreme Lord, is making reference to something called Advaita philosophy. Now, that's very interesting. We're going to explain a little philosophy this morning in class, so not too many stories. Hate to disappoint you. So, Advaita, of course, the word means one. Advaita means without duality. Advaita. Dvaita means two. Advaita means non-dual. Just to give you some definitions. So, in the Advaita philosophy, which incidentally is different than Shankaracharya's Mayavada philosophy, which incidentally is different than Sunyavadi philosophy of the Buddhists. So there's all these different varieties of atheism. So let's just talk about the Advaita, and then we'll talk about all the other types of ecstatic atheism. So Advaita philosophy states basically everything is one. But what that means, let's unpack that statement. That the Lord, that's Krishna, Ram, Narasimha, the energies, us, everything is just one. That's it. Very easy to understand. In other words, there's no difference, no differentiation. And so, what that basically means is that the time of the cosmic creation, when the Lord, of course we hear how the Lord breathes out and all the universes emanate from Him, and all the material energies come from Him, and He looks at the material creation, Saikshita, and that glance is Shambhu, or Lord Shiva. All these things are just, He becomes transformed. This is, in Sanskrit, there's an interesting word. It's called Parinama. You have a similar word in Hindi? No. Parinama means transformation in Sanskrit. In other words, the Lord, let's just take an example that will be easier to understand. Let's say there is some clay, and all of us when we were young played with clay. But the interesting thing is, when we were young playing with clay, we took the clay out and transformed the clay, right? I don't think the clay took itself out and became anything. Has anyone ever experienced it? I guess there's some horror movie where a big blob comes out, you know, and just engulfs everything. Yes, I used to watch these movies when I was young. Very scary. But the clay needs a person to transform it. And you make different things. When I was young, I would make human figures with the clay. Did you ever do that? No. No one here ever played with clay when they were young. Some of you did. I would make all sorts of different things, you know, like buildings and everything. But I was a person doing it. I didn't become transformed. The clay was transformed by me. So the problem with the Advaita philosophy is that they say that everything is the clay, including God, and it somehow transforms itself, which is kind of stupid, isn't it? I mean, think about it, Advaita philosophy. It's called Parinambhava. That means the understanding of the process of transformation. Now, we also accept Parinam, but I'll explain that a little bit later in this whole discussion, but a different type of Parinam. So, then we have Shankaracharya's philosophy. Actually, Shankaracharya is Lord Shiva, and he came with a specific mission to bring people back to the Vedic literatures by teaching covered Buddhism. So his philosophy was something called Vivartavada. Vivarta means illusion. I'll say, okay, and I'll explain what that means. So that's also a bogus philosophy. One may say, you know, why is he preaching bogus philosophy? Well, there's a purpose to it. Even Krishna preached bogus philosophy in the 10th canto, didn't he? Can anyone think of what I'm talking about? Karma Mimamsa, didn't he? He preached that to Nanda Maharaj. He said, you know, basically these demigods, you know, who cares about these guys or girls? If we act nicely, then they have to do their business. And of course, to a certain extent, this karma mimamsa is preached in the Arya Samaj nowadays. That you do your havan, sacrifice and everything. You know, if there's a god, you know, he just has to behave himself. You know, he's under karma too, you know. Basically, that's why it's called karma mimamsa. Because he's under the karma, we're under the karma, and you just do these nice pious acts, the havan, swaha, 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 om. You have to understand the purpose of the Vedas. You can't just say, well, you can't quote things out of context. Well, karma mimamsa is a bona fide philosophy because Krishna preached it. Or we have the verse in the Gita, Ishwaroham Ahambogi Siddhoham Balavansuki, that we are perfect, powerful, and happy. That's our Gayatri mantra. So you really have to understand the Vedas as a totality, the purpose of the Vedas. So anyway, so let's talk about Shankaracharya's philosophy a little bit more. So Vivartavad means the illusion philosophy. What that philosophy states is that basically there is God, right? And what happens is that God falls into illusion. You know, somehow or other he gets into Maya. It's like we get into Maya. Why do we get into Maya? Well, this is our desire. But actually there's the three modes of nature. There's other things that affect us. We're not independent. We're not Swarat. So therefore, you know, different things like, you know, if it's too cold, like today I'm wearing my jumper, it's cold here. And the devotees are so kind, they put chandan on my forehead to make me colder. I was telling that to Jivananda today. I said, don't you understand what you're doing when you're putting chandan? Why should you put chandan on Prabhupada's forehead? It's freezing. The purpose of chandan is to cool. You want to give me a cold? So anyway, so getting back to the point. So Vivarta, so we are affected by different things. You know, the cold, the heat, and everything. Krishna is not affected. He's independent. He's absolutely Swarat. And he's also up to kama. He gets what he wants and he wants what he gets. So there's no question that Krishna is controlled by external forces. What to speak of being put into illusion? I mean, Krishna sometimes voluntarily puts himself into a situation where he forgets that he's God for his own purposes, voluntarily. That's called yoga maya. When the coward boys were marching into the Agasura's mouth, that is a snake demon, then Krishna was, at the beginning, he was just a little bewildered. What am I going to do? But then he remembered, hey, I'm God. I can handle it. And so then he goes into the Agasura's mouth, expands himself, boom, poor snake dies. Of course, the snake actually merges, the soul merges into the existence of Krishna. So Krishna is not really affected by external things. So when this Vivartavad, the problem with Vivartavad preached by Shankaracharya is that you're thinking that there's something superior to God, right? And that superior thing is illusion. So illusion must be God. So we should all worship illusion, which we do anyway, Durga. She's illusion. And that explains why many people worship Durga instead of Krishna. Because they're worshiping illusion. Illusion is must be God. So Shankaracharya's philosophy is quite interesting. I want to dwell a little bit more on it. Because that's perhaps the most prominent atheistic philosophy that we have to deal with, Mayavad philosophy. And so he has these different Mahavakyas. Mahavakya means great sayings that he quotes from the Vedic literature. The first one is Sarvakal Vidam Brahma. That's from the Chandogya Upanishad. That everything is Brahma. So what he is saying when he's quoting is not wrong, but his interpretation of that is wrong. Sarva kal idam brahman means everything is brahman, which is true. Krishna himself says that in the Gita. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagadabhyabdamurtina matstani sarvabhutanina hamteshva vasata. Everything is, basically everything is coming from me, everything is a manifestation of brahman. So in that sense, everything is brahman. Just like I can say, your shoes, in one sense, you know, they're part of you. Especially when people, the first ministers came to Fiji, the native Fijians thought the shoes were part of the person, right? And they cooked shoe soup. So the shoes, when I see the shoes, or I see your car, let's say I see your car, and I say, oh, there is Sumuk. But all I see is the car. I didn't see Sumuk. Actually, even now, I can't even see Sumuk. Because he's the soul. So I say, oh, there is Sumuk sitting over there. But he's not. All there is a body. Tridadu came, bile, mucus, and air sitting there. That I've somehow or other identified as Sumuk. And he's also identified it as Sumuk. And he's very attached to it. So anyway, so sarva kal vidam brahman, that explains, so everything is brahman in one sense, but it's non-different. It is one and different, sorry, from brahman. That's Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. What? Achintya, Veda, Aveda, Tattva. That everything is one and different simultaneously, inconceivably. And so we accept the Chandogya Upanishad, but we understand the meaning of it, where Shankaracharya, he misinterpreted that meaning. The second one is, Pradyanam Brahma, that knowledge is Brahman, or Brahman is knowledge. That's from the Aditya Upanishad. He was generally quoting from the Upanishad because he was writing the commentary, Shankaracharya's commentary is called the Sarik Rakya Vasha, which is a commentary in the Vedanta Sutra. The Vedanta Sutras are commentaries on the Upanishads. So, knowledge is Brahman. And basically we agree with that too, that knowledge is to understand what the aspects of Brahman, not only Brahman, undifferentiated Brahman, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan, Iti, Shabdite, Vedanta Tattva Pavidas, Tattvam Yad Jnanam Advayam, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan, Iti, Shabdite, that Brahman has three aspects. There's the undifferentiated Brahman, you know, the energy. There's the Paramatma, Super Soul, Shirodakshay Vishnu in everyone's heart. And then ultimately there's Bhagavan, who's there on the altar. So the Brahman has different varieties. Just like people have different varieties. The weather has different varieties. There's different varieties everywhere. Where do you find something without varieties? Right? You all look differently. Right? If you all were like the clone army or something like that from Star Wars, which probably none of you have seen, then shows that I'm in Maya. So then it would be weird if everyone looked exactly the same. It'd be weird. So there's variety. So there's variety in Brahman too. Because without variety in Brahman, there would not be variety here. Where is something that is the source of something else, and the manifestation has more qualities than the source? It doesn't make sense. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita explains in the 15th chapter that the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. Like the banyan tree on the banks of the river or a body of water. The banyan tree appears to have its roots up and its branches down because it's reversed, it's reflected. And we're standing on the bank of the river. So, but whatever you see in the reflection must be there in the original. It's like if you look in a mirror. Sometimes you look in a mirror and think, oh, the mirror is making up things about me. Sometimes if you go to some of these fun houses where they have funny mirrors, it is like that. But usually the mirror in your bathroom is not like that. It's what you are. which is interesting. Sometimes we wish it wasn't what we are. But as you get older, you wish, oh my God, get rid of this mirror. So anyway, that's an interesting thing. So, and then the fourth Mahavakya of Shankaracharya is Tatvam Ashi Shveta Keto, which means, referring to Shveta Keto, who is being instructed by the Guru, you are that. And that's from the Chandogya Upanishad. In other words, you are Brahman. So sometimes that's taken by the Mayavadis that, you are Brahman, you are the Supreme Lord, you just forgot it. But we are Brahman, but we're Jiva souls. Mame Vansa Jiva Luke. Jiva Buddha Sanatana. That we're also part and parcel of Krishna, Nitya Nitya Nam. I mean, so many verses we can put. Chaitanya Chaitanya Nam Eko Vahunam Yomadadati Kama. Of course, there's another one, Aham Brahmasmi. That's one of the famous ones of the Mayavadis. You are Brahman. Same thing, same principle. That we are Brahman, but we are tiny Brahman. So anyway, so we already explained the fault of this particular Mayavad philosophy taught by Shankaracharya. And we explained the fault of the Advaita philosophy, where basically it's the transformation of the Lord becomes everything. And of course, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport here, in the Bhagavatam, Om Purnamadam Purnamidam, that the Supreme Lord, even though so many complete units emanate from Him, He remains the complete whole. So the point is, what do we believe in, though? So we believe in a philosophy called Shakti Parinam Vad. So remember I said, Parinam means transformation, and Vad means the process, and Shakti means energy. So taking these three words together, it means that we believe in the transformation of the Lord's energies. And what does that mean precisely? Let's give you a explanation. All right, let's talk about the creation. At the time of creation, the pradhan was there. Pradhan, let's get back to the example of clay again. Pradhan is like the clay. And the clay becomes transformed by you taking it out of the box and making it into something. So the pradhan, the unmanifest stage of the three modes of nature, that's a description of what pradhan is, becomes transformed by the Lord. First of all, the pradhan, or the material energy, exits the Lord's body when He is breathing out at the time of creation. Comes out from His pores. It's interesting. The creation, isn't it? Comes out from His breathing, comes out from His pores. Previously, it had gone in during the time of the dissolution. We had entered into the Lord's body at the time of the dissolution. And then we come out, not the same time as the as the unmanifest stage of the modes of nature. We come out through the Lord's glands. The Lord impregnates. This is so amazing, if you think about it. Because Angani Yasha Sakalan Driadriti Manti, the Lord can do anything, Krishna can do anything, with any one of His senses. So, we mentioned this the other day, He can hear with His nose, He can see with His feet, He's omniscient. So, Krishna can impregnate with His eyes. In another incarnation, Krishna impregnated with His teeth. That's interesting. I'll explain what I mean by that. When Krishna was in the boar incarnation, He had big teeth. They're called tusks. And He touched the earth planet. And the earth planet, Bhumi, gave birth to a little kid, Bhumi, who later became a demon. That's another story. So when the Lord creates the material universe, He transforms by His glance and also by His desire and by His devotees and by His other energies. Parasha Shakti Vridaya Vishuyate Svabhavati Gyanapalakriyacha. Krishna has many different energies. Of course, We understand, because yesterday was the appearance of Srimati Radharani, that Radharani is the original energy, and all the energies, other energies, come from Krishna. Vishnu Shakti Para Prabda Shetrakya Kitata Para Vijayakama Samgyanya Tritir Shakti Ishate. Three varieties of energies. There's the Para Prakriti, the internal potency, headed up by Srimati Radharani. There's the material energy, which is called ignorant actions. That's where we are right now. And then finally us, the soul, which is also transcendental, but it's marginal. It's like the description given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur about our situation is we're like the shore of the ocean. Like where the ocean meets the shore. You know, there's that, that's called the Tushta, that particular area. And sometimes when there's big waves, that shore becomes underwater. And sometimes when the tide goes out, the shore becomes dry again. So that's us. Sometimes when the Maya, the waves of Maya engulf us, we're watching Bollywood movies as we're chanting japa. So we're watching the movie. Then it's like a cyclone. You understand? Then the water comes up, and we're just engulfed and drowning in the ocean. And then sometimes we decide on Sunday morning to come to the temple. Then the water recedes for a little while. Whew, that's good. And then on Monday morning, back again with tsunami. You know what a tsunami is? That's when the water comes up. So the water, tsunami, then it's back and forth. We're like a yo-yo. You know what a yo-yo is? There's a little kids play with, they throw down. Sometimes it comes up, sometimes it stays down. I used to play with one when I was a kid. You know, I knew how to do all the different things with it. So that's us. That's the Tushta. And when one becomes a pure devotee, then you make a big seawall. Just like here in Suvio, the seawall, right? So the seawall becomes so high, the ocean can't hit you anymore. Interesting metaphor there. So let's get back to the point. So we're the Lord's energy. Everything is the Lord's energies. And therefore, everything in one sense is Krishna, and one sense is not Krishna. And this is in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the beginning of the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The Achinchaveda Veda philosophy is actually very nicely elaborated on by Krishna himself in various verses. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, also elaborates on this thing. So we believe in Shakti Parinam Vad. And that's not impersonalism, not voidism, it's personalism. And the jiva souls have the independence, this is another important point, have the independence to choose Maya or Krishna. That's the one thing they have. They can choose illusion or they can choose enlightenment. And based upon their choice, Krishna reciprocates and allows his energy to function in a certain way. For example, if you choose to be a Mayavadi, atheist, impersonalist, Advaitavadi, Vada, then Krishna gives you intelligence how to do it. Krishna is simply reciprocating with you. And if you choose to get out the Dhammi Buddhi Yoga Tam, Yena Mamu Biyantite, Krishna gives you Buddhi Yoga, how to get out of this world. So it's all dependent. It all hinges on your desires. How you desire then determines your intelligence, determines your actions, determines how the material energy interacts with you, determines how the spiritual energy interacts with you. So the question is to change your desire. You change your desire by having association with those who have bhakti. It's like a transplant from your heart, or a energy that is given from the heart of a pure devotee to your heart. Bhavanti Vritkarnavsa. And how to do that? To hear from Krishna's
great devotees, like Srila Prabhupada. Satam prasangam amavirya sampado. Bhavanti ritkarna risayana katha tyajoshana dasu. Apavarga vartmani shraddha ratira bhakti anukramashiti. You take the pure devotee in through your ears. That's it. Ritkarna. Karna means ear. Rit means, of course, heart. And that ritkarna risayana katha. Then it cures your heart disease. We're all concerned with heart disease, you know. Heart attack. We're all having heart attacks by Maya. We've analyzed this. You don't need a CAT scan or whatever scan in the hospital. Maya's coming. And so, Bhavanti, Rasayana Kata. The Kata is Rasayana. Jojoshana Dasu Apavarga Vartmane. Then you can become on the path of Apavarga, which means. You can get on the path of liberation. Pavarga means entanglement, foaming at the mouth, hard work, fainting, mritu, everything. And upavarga is the opposite, apavarga vartmani. And then you become happy. You get faith, shraddha, ratir, a taste, and then ultimately love. The reason we're not happy is we don't have any love. We have lust. And so bhakti is actually the cure for all your diseases. So, on that happy note, any questions or comments? Questions, comments, problems, issues? Everybody's so quiet. Yes?
You were mentioning about annihilation.
Annihilation, yeah.
What is the purpose for annihilation, and why do we have two types of annihilation?
There's actually more than two types of annihilation described in Bhagavatam. There's a constant devastation, too. That's the time factor. Called like erosion, I guess, the scientific word for it. Everything's being constantly, or entropy is actually a more scientific word for that, where everything tends to fall apart. So there's, anyway, many types of annihilation. So why are these annihilations there? Including the constant, and of course the final means going back to Godhead, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam. These annihilations are there basically to teach us certain lessons, as Bhutva Bhutva Pralayate, or as Prabhupada explained in relationship to that verse, the whole show is only temporary. You know, after you've been to enough movies, and you see that they end, and that you don't gain anything from it. After a while, you say, well, maybe you better not to spend any more money on movies. So the material world is like that. You've been, how many times have we undergone death? How many times have we been swimming in the ocean of devastation? Like that Markandeya Rishi story. How many times have we gotten old? How many times have we gotten sick? How many times have we been in the hospital? Maybe not this life, but I mean, how many times? After a while, you come to the point of, as they say nowadays, been there, seen it, done it. But many of us have not been in it, have come to that particular stage. So we think, you know, maybe there's something in this world. Maybe there's something, maybe if I go here, there. Just like when I was young, before I joined the Krishna Conscious Movement, I was very dissatisfied with my life in America. I thought, you know, very little culture, maybe I can discover the truth of life by going to Europe. Because basically in America, we all come from Europe. Most of us come from Europe. So I thought, well, go back to the motherland. Just like some of you from India, you say, go back to the motherland. So anyway, so Europe is like the motherland. You know, my family, they came from Estonia, Latvia, and Germany, different places in Poland, different places like that. So, anyway, so I took a plane. You know, I didn't have much money. So I went to a place called Luxembourg, which is cheap planes. I flew on Icelandic Airlines. You've never heard of it before. Just to save money. So I arrived there. I thought, wow, now I have arrived. Now I will actually find out the truth of life. So anyway, so first thing I discovered when I went to Europe was that people were eating, sleeping, mating, defending.
I thought there'd be something different going on there. You know, I was in illusion. So I remember being in Paris, actually in southern France, not Paris, and just being with some other Americans, you know, and they said, oh, let's go eat. Let's go meet some girls. I said, but I could do that in America. What's the difference? And they said, well, in France, you can sit outside in a cafe and enjoy yourself. You know, cafe, you know, sidewalk cafe. So you sit outside in a cafe. What are you going to do there? You're going to eat and look at the girls. I mean, what else are you going to do? It's the same thing. I said, I thought so. It'd be something different. You know, you all be sophisticated and, you know, Krishna conscious. No, I didn't know about Krishna consciousness then. But, and so then, that was the quickest trip anyone ever made to Europe. You know, I got it, ran back to Luxembourg from there. Kind of laying it, whoop, back to America. And I called my father, because I actually had flown from Nassau just to get a cheap flight. Nassau is one of the Bahamas. And I said, I'm back, Dad. He said, what? You just left. And I said, it's just the same old thing. He said, didn't you go to see the Eiffel Tower? I said, why? Who cares about some stupid piece of metal? But you here in Fiji, you want to go see the Harbour Bridge in Sydney. You put pictures of it on your altar. Right? That's like your aspiration. You think, oh, once I get there. But then when you get there, you have to work like an ass to pay your mortgage. I mean, because then... So you think there's something different there. And the traffic is horrible. Much worse than Fiji. You think Fiji traffic, oh, I'll go to Australia, the traffic will be better. And then you have to work harder. Your wife has to work. You don't see your kids because you're working so hard. Finally, you see the kids after 20 years and they ask you who you are. You know, is that, who's that man in the house? The mother says, oh, that's your father. So, that's the lure of the material energy. You know, it's always like the donkey and the carrot. You're going to see like that. So, after a certain point, you know, all these devastations and births, and just like here in Fiji, you go to all these marriages, and it's all the same. Been to ones, seen them all. Been to one movie. I mean, like all the Bollywood movies are the same too, isn't it? At the end, they all dance in a circle around the beloved couple. And they never show you how the beloved couple is going to get old and argue with each other and kill each other after a while. It's crazy. But real life is not like that. So anyway, after a while, you just say, Bahunam Jandanamante Ganavam Vam Prabhajate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlavat. After a while, you just say, ah. That's it. Krishna, help! And then Krishna sends the guru. So that's the purpose. Purpose of the misery, purpose of everything that happens in the material world. That's called teleology, the study of purposes. So we understand the purpose of the material world, then you understand everything that happens within the material world. It can all be understood in terms of the purpose. Does that answer your question? So, I think we have to end now. We want to thank you all for listening so nicely and thank everybody online. We have quite a few people this morning. Even Bhaja Govinda is watching from there and from America, New Zealand, Australia. Wow, from Turkey. Country of Turkey people are watching. Pretty interesting. Okay, thank you very much. All glorious to